This travel show is brought to you by Ted Blank, Luxury Travel and Adventures.
Stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Travel Show. Guess who's here? Our friend Ted Blank of Ted Blank Luxury Travel and Adventure. And as we do every Thursday, we like to chat it up about all things travel. Ted, how do you keep coming up with all these great ideas for vacations? Before we went on the air, you were telling me a little sneak peek about this one, and it's so unique. I can't wait for our listeners to hear.
Yeah, well, it's kind of one of the really fun parts of my job is that, you know, this is what I do for a living. I kind of match people up with the perfect trip for them. And so part of what I need to do is I need to know what's available out there. And I always kind of keep in mind that, you know, sometimes we'll talk about a vacation and it's, you know, it's what I would describe as a very mainstream vacation that normal people like you or I would take. But there are people out there who are a little different, perhaps, and they maybe are less interested in things like history and, you know, monuments and food and things like that. And maybe they're more interested in the natural world, birds and cliffs and whales and things like that. And so the great thing is that there are some awesome cruises out there for people like that as well, who really want to get away from civilization and see kind of the natural wonders in the world. And so I found what I think is a really neat trip in June of 2025 that really has one city that you or I has ever heard of, and everything else are places that you're probably going to be the only tourists to go there in the course of a year.
Okay.
So it's really off the beaten path.
Well, I am very intrigued. Tell us more, please.
Yeah, so this is what's called an expedition cruise.
So tell us what that means.
Yeah, so an expedition cruise is going to be a cruise, so it'll be on a floating vehicle. But that's really where a lot of the comparisons with what we might consider a regular cruise would end. The ships are very small. This particular one carries about 250 passengers, mm-hmm. and it's really purpose-built for not pulling up alongside a dock where there's a big shopping center and spending the day docked there. It's really designed for kind of extreme climates, extreme areas. A lot of the places where the ship stops, there's no dock. And so the ships are equipped with something called Zodiacs. And Zodiacs are rigid inflatable boats that take you to and from the shore, or they take you out and about and you get to see the wildlife, or you get to see the cliffs up close from these little boats that carry 10 or 12 people. So they're designed for these kind of polar regions in particular, off the beaten path areas. On board, beautifully, beautifully appointed suites, excellent cuisine, excellent service. It has a pool, it has a hot tub, it has a spa, everything you would expect from a small cruise ship, only designed to operate in very, very extreme conditions, you know, extreme climate conditions, but also designed with sustainability in mind. And so expedition cruise ships have to adhere to pretty rigid protocols about the amount of pollution that they can emit, about the amount of garbage they produce and what they do with that garbage, and even how they drop anchor. You know, most big cruise ships, when they pull into port, they just put the anchor down and off they go. Many of the expedition ships use thrusters and different ways of stopping the ship and staying in place without actually having to drop an anchor and disturb the marine environment below. So they're really customized ships that are designed specifically for these off the beaten path and very remote places.
And is this kind of a new way to cruise?
You know, it's been around for a long time. There have been expedition cruises to Antarctica since the 1960s, but it's really kind of taken on a life of its own in the last couple of years, and it's become more and more popular. You know, if you went to the Science Museum and you saw those nature movies, and that's what kind of inspires you, that's really what these expedition cruises are designed for, that type of a person.
Well, I love it. Let's hear more, please.
Yeah, so this is a neat one because it has the advantage of starting and ending in Dublin in Ireland.
Okay, I don't think of an expedition cruise.
A lot of people don't. But the great thing about Dublin is it's easy to get to.
You know what it is? You told me it's the closest European capital to the United States.
Correct. It's the closest European capital to the United States. You can fly there nonstop from Minneapolis, mm-hmm. so very, very easy to get to. But once you get there, you're going to kind of leave the civilized world behind and head off into a whole different area. So if you want to see Dublin, it's definitely worth going in a few days.
Early,
you know, catch up on the Guinness before you venture
right.
off to parts sort of unknown. So it starts and ends in Dublin, and it's a two-week cruise, and it spends about half the time in the very remote islands of northern Scotland, and it spends half of its time in Iceland. And so what a different itinerary. I mean, you can imagine how this looks on a map. And as I was looking through it, I couldn't pronounce the names of most of these places, you know, the Icelandic ones in particular. But I really had to get out my atlas and say, okay, well, this is this and this is this. And you know, these are places that I hadn't really ever even heard of. So these would be, if you're a collector of unique places, this would be a way to do that.
Wow. We're in Dublin and then we leave and what, you go north?
Yep. So we leave Dublin and you'll head north.
Okay.
And you'll head into the Scottish Isles.
So we'll kind of hug England.
Yep. Kind of hug England and then just keep going up into the northern part of Scotland.
Okay.
Where there are all the islands off the coast. Okay. Like the Hebrides.
Okay.
Are the name of the island
chain.
And some of these islands, like the Isle of Skye, the Isle of Mull, are large enough that they have permanent populations. But the place this cruise is going to, many of them are no longer populated or never were. Populated. And so you're going there because, first of all, because of the scenery, you know, scenic cruising, whether it's from the ship or whether it's from the Zodiac is part of it. So it's a little bit like Alaska and that part of the attraction mm-hmm. is the scenery. But oftentimes the ship will stop and you'll go ashore in your Zodiac, you'll get off on a beach and you can go hiking if you want to. And it's not just going to be going hiking on your own. There's an expedition staff that travels with the ship and they're all experienced naturalists and experienced guides. And so they will have put together a hike for you that's going to show you kind of the wonders of this little place that you're stopping at that, you know, you're one of the few tourists who will visit it at all during the year. If you like to get up even closer to things, you can go kayaking. And you can actually go kayaking right off of the ship. So imagine that, you know, you walk down to the lower level and they have a little marina and you get in your kayak and off you go. And with a guide, you'll explore the really rugged coastline of mm-hmm. Scotland. So just absolutely beautiful. There are some attractions there as well. You know, back in the day, long, long time ago, people did live in these areas. And in particular, one of the things you'll see on this cruise is an abbey. And it's a very famous abbey. It's called St. Columba's Abbey. It was built in the 500s. Mm. And it was actually utilized for several hundred years after that, and then it was abandoned. But it's kind of considered to be the birthplace of Christianity in the British Isles. So very, very ancient place. And it's, you know, been partially restored. No one lives on the island anymore. But there was a time when people did there, kind of hermit monks lived there. So interesting glimpses into the very, very distant past of the British Isles. And this is also an area where if you're into birds, you are just spoiled for choice. And I know a lot of people love puffins, you know, those cute little birds. So this is the home of Atlantic puffins. And so if you want to see them, you kind of want to see how they nest, where they nest. The Scottish Isles have some great opportunities for that, as well as many, many other birds. And, you know, there are probably some seagulls too.
So this is going to be, what, a day's journey?
No, you'll spend about 3 days in the Scottish Isles. Then you pop up to Iceland for about 6 days, pop back into the Scottish Isles, and then back to Dublin.
Okay.
So it's kind of 50-50 Scotland and Iceland.
Wow.
Yeah. And Iceland, the things that you can see and do in Iceland are really cool as well. You know, I talked about those beach landings on the Zodiac.
Yes.
And there were actually two that I thought just sounded really incredible. And the first one is that Iceland is a place that has black sandy beaches. Now, these are not beaches where you're going to find a cabana or a cocktail with an umbrella.
Wrong cruise
for that. But beautiful, beautiful black sand beaches. And you go ashore on the Zodiacs and you get off with your naturalist and you'll walk around and you'll see what sort of wildlife you can find in the tidal areas of these black sand beaches. So really, really neat. I mean, almost like being on a National Geographic expedition. I mean, a really, really neat way to do that. The other one is they take you to a tiny little island that's actually off the coast of Iceland. And again, you do your beach landing. And this entire island has one family that lives on it. And they have a farm. And on the farm, they raise horses and they raise sheep. And so you'll actually go, you'll meet the family, you'll sort of see how Icelandic people lived back in the Middle Ages. You get to meet the sheep, you get to meet the horses. They have some interesting hikes that you can take on the island. And then you go back for sort of an authentic Icelandic lunch that's prepared and served by these farmers on their little island. So I thought that was a really neat thing that, you know, you'd be some of the probably the only people in the entire history of the world to ever go visit this.
So one island. Family. So they're dedicated obviously to tourism too then.
They're dedicated to tourism okay. as well. You would really have to work to get here. So they might get 3 or 4 ships a year and that's enough for them. You can't get there from the mainland. It's a separate area. So a really neat thing. They have some jeep rides. You can go for some hikes where your destination is a glacier and you can see a glacier. Wow. You can see some of the volcanic and steam, you know, geothermal activity in Iceland. Again, those birds everywhere. And there was something that I thought was also kind of a fun activity. That's where you get to go ashore and meet a local fisherman and try your hand at fishing, but not the way we do it here.
Okay.
The traditional Icelandic way of fishing. So if you have a little Viking heritage and you want to kind of commune with your
yes.
ancestors, you can do that.
How do you fish the Viking way?
I don't know. But if you go on this cruise, you can find out and you can let us know. And then there's a kind of a strange thing that I had heard of before. You know, you're familiar with Stonehenge in England, which
yes.
is kind of a giant stone sundial. Well, someone decided to build one in Iceland, and it's called Arctic Henge. And I guess it's still actually under construction. So when you're in Iceland, you can go see the site of Arctic Henge.
So is it more modern day?
I think it's more modern day.
Okay.
And so maybe in a couple thousand years, your distant descendants will be like, huh, I wonder what this was, little knowing, you know, that great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma mm-hmm. Mo was there on a cruise. So kind of a different thing to do. Mm-hmm. And then the ship turns around and goes back to Scotland. So you spend a little more time in those islands.
Okay.
And then you'll visit the only city, the only real port of call on the cruise, and that is the city of Londonderry.
In Northern Ireland,
which people
sure.
have probably heard of that. Mm-hmm. And it has an interesting history. It actually does have a very, very well-preserved fortress from the Middle Ages. More recently, it's where the Troubles in Ireland started. And that was kind of in the 1960s, 1970s, 1980s. Essentially, that civil war that took place in Northern Ireland started in Londonderry. And now there is actually a peace bridge kind of meant to commemorate the arrival of peace and understanding. And, you know, Northern Ireland, you know, for the last 20 or so years has really been a very peaceful place. And it has really turned itself around. So it's kind of neat to see. And Derry is kind of a place where you can see how that transformation has taken place. And then you'll head back to Dublin and you can head on home.
So from Londonderry to Dublin,
probably only about 60 miles.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But you sail around the tip of the island.
Oh, you
do. So the ship has to go a little bit longer.
Oh, how lovely.
Distance. Yeah. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then you're right back in Dublin, where if you wanted to continue on and spend some time in London or Paris or see a little more of Europe, you could certainly do that. Or if you want to head back home, like I said, easy nonstop flight back to Minneapolis.
And this again is how long?
So it's a 14-day cruise.
Okay.
And it's on a ship called the Silver Wind. And there's an interesting kind of quirk to this particular expedition ship. Some ships are built specifically for expeditions. This one was not. It was actually built as sort of a yacht-style cruise ship. So it has big, oversized staterooms, beautiful decor, gourmet restaurants, you know, like I said, a spa, but I mean a really top-notch spa. And a couple years ago, the cruise line took the ship to a shipyard, and they basically rebuilt it to be an expedition cruise ship. And so one of the things they had to do was they essentially had to build another hull around the outside of the existing hull with much, much, much stronger steel.
Oh, wow.
Because when you're up in these polar mm-hmm. regions, you can find icebergs and other things that, you know, would probably sink a normal cruise ship. And so these expedition cruise ships really have to be engineered for these extremes. And so in the case of this particular ship, they essentially had to build an entirely
That's
new
brilliant.
Hull. Yeah, I know. It is really neat. And, you know, this ship was one of the first kind of luxury expedition cruise ships out there in the market. And now there are probably 25 or 30 ships that are in this particular space in the market. Couple different cruise lines operate them. But for folks who enjoy that kind of science and nature and natural history, this would be a really neat trip. And I think, you know, something else to think about too is for families. You know, if you have kids who are maybe nerdy kids like me, you know, I was kind of a history nerd, but my brother was kind of a science nerd, and this would have been right up his mm-hmm. alley when he was younger. So it is something that would certainly be conducive to families. Although in reality, most of the passengers on here will be adults.
But certainly adults of fit. I mean, you have to be pretty fit to be on this.
Yeah, you know, you really have to
be,
as long as you're mobile, mm-hmm. you know, as long as you can get in and out of the tenders, you should be fine. And I am always surprised, you know, when I have folks go on a trip to Antarctica or something like that, and they bring back pictures, you know, there are people who have walking sticks and things like that. So you don't have to be a marathon runner to be fit enough for this. But certainly, you know, if you can go for a nice mile or two hike and enjoy it, you know, without your knees giving out, that would certainly be advantageous. But you don't have to be in tip-top physical shape to do this. And one of the nice things about an expedition cruise like this is that they also provide you with all the expedition gear.
Okay, that's
so
huge.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't have waterproof boots and survival suits in our garage.
Nor would we want to try to pack all that.
Exactly. So they provide that for you. And all these activities are also included in the price of the cruise. So your expeditions with this great, great onboard expedition staff are included. And one of the things that happens with expedition cruises is people meet these naturalists and other experts on board, and they really, really like them. And I'll have people come to me and say, hey, you know, we really liked so-and-so on board our cruise. Can you find out where they're going to be next June or July? We don't really care where it is, but we want to go on a cruise with them on the expedition staff. So they really do attract their own followings. And
you're able to do that?
Yeah, we can absolutely do that. Yeah, absolutely do that. As long as they didn't move on to another job. Groupies, yeah. Yeah, so they really do have a powerful impact. You know, and this is one of those trips where it's going to be the knowledge you gained, the experiences you had, the memories you made that really are going to define it. You know, it isn't a relaxing go lie on the beach and look at the sun and read a book thing. This is to put all those books you've read into practice and get out there and see a part of the world that almost nobody else will see.
And something like this is so vastly different than other cruises you've talked about.
It totally is. And, you know, I think sometimes people will, you know, especially at this time of the year when people have been coming back from spring break vacations, you know, and maybe they took their family on one of those big cruise ships with water slides and things like that. And they'll say, oh, I never want to go on a cruise. And mm-hmm. I always have one answer for that, which is, well, you just haven't been on the right cruise. And so obviously this is a little bit of a niche in terms of who might be interested. But certainly I think it'd be a fantastic experience. And if you are inspired by the world and by nature and things like this, what a perfect way to get out there and discover it.
And you can help put this together, I know.
We absolutely can.
How can we do that, please?
Yeah, you can give me a call at 651-964-8245, or you can visit my website at tedblanktravel.com, and we can send you more details on this and other expedition cruises and help you pick the one that's perfect for you.
Ted, never would I have thought you would have put Ireland, Scotland, and Iceland together. What the heck?
We did.
Love it.
All right.
Yeah, love that. Great to see you. Thank you so much, Ted Blank of Ted Blank Luxury Travel and Adventure. And this show is called The Travel Show on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings. This travel show has been brought to you by Ted Blank Luxury Travel and Adventures.
See somewhere waiting for me. My lover stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, to her arms that go sailing. It's far beyond the stars.